Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
No, I'm supposed to say it first. No, how do I say the beginning again?
Why, hello there.
This is episode.
To...
No, I don't say welcome. I say this is episode 432. Top of the day to you, Dale.
Hello.
Top of the day to you, Gary.
Well, thanks. Yeah, good to be here. 432, that's the bus out to Burwood.
Oh, yeah.
Or Haberfield or somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. People are really interested. Thanks, viewers.
I'm a little bit worried about what's going on here because I did see a ginger cat walk over this mixer the other day.
That ginger cat's walked over everything
in this place.
I don't think there's a spot that ginger cat hasn't been in the last...
He's really...
Oh, I was going to say 24 hours, but probably 1 hour.
No, not 1 hour. He's been asleep.
Of course, he's a cat. Of course, yes. Correct.
Quiz coming up for you two later on in the program, which will be... They'll be the end, actually, because the quiz is always at the end, and it's about Australian actors. Do you remember? Maybe you don't know these things, but do you remember in the olden days you used to get the fantail lollies?
Oh, it was always Mel Gibson.
They don't make them anymore.
No, they don't.
They don't?
I know. It's a tear in my eye.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't make them. Who doesn't like caramel and chocolate?
Well, I remember Roundtree announced they were going to stop making them and there was this big hoo-ha. I'm like, well, if you bought them before.
Yeah. We always had them at work until
we had them
then.
On road trips and my nana had them.
They're so fun.
They were good.
We were a minty family.
Oh, I was both. Absolutely. In fact, now you're making me think I haven't had a minty in a while. They used to be my favourites.
A competition in the car where you'd take the minty wrapper and then try and make the longest piece of string you could. And whoever got the longest wins.
By tearing it.
What do you win?
I don't know.
Another
pride,
minty.
Pride.
Pride.
Okay.
The title of longest minty wrapper.
Da, 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 da.
That road trip to Mildura from Adelaide must have been quite long.
It's 4 hours.
There was no TikTok back in those days.
No. Just Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs, yes.
Very, very droll. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you, fans.
Yeah, those are lollies. We've just, in the last 45 seconds, we've mentioned lollies that we used to have all the time.
And old school.
Had them for years. Well, not since fantail.
Little caramel squares I liked too. Those are what my mum used to buy for road trips, but a road trip meant longer than a trip to the Central Coast.
So if you went to the Central Coast, no lollies?
No. That's just commuting.
Those little vampire
That's a commute. Oh, the teeth.
Like you could get a bag of lollies for like 10 cents or something crazy and it would have a mixture of things like those really terrible bananas and the milk bottles and the fake teeth. And I think they might have even had vampire teeth.
Strawberries and cream.
They were nice. Yeah.
Were? You haven't looked in the kitchen lately, have you?
So strict. You have been watching things?
I've been going to things.
Okay. And you've been watching things?
I've been staying at home and watching TV a lot.
That's good. That's what people want.
That's what great couples do.
It's like you go to the theatre.
And you sit and watch that box.
Sometimes he even turns it on.
Oh, let's not go crazy now.
Remote control there. Use it. Okay, who wants to go first with the first thing? Who wants to go first?
You go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry.
So over the Christmas break, we've been watching a lot of TV because we had a house sitter take care of our dog when we travelled up to Darwin. And, yes, hello, Owen, if you're there, I'm still using your Stan account. So we get to explore all kinds of different shows. And I think his Netflix account was left on as well. So we've been watching a few things.
Yeah. Plus when we went to Darwin, that's where Dale's family is, which is why we went for Christmas, not because we enjoy tropical rain. And they had various accounts up there that we could access to. So we watched a lot of things there
Disney
as well.
Disney Plus and that sort of thing. And then over the break, we heard about this amazing Canadian show about gay hockey players.
Oh, everybody's. You could say it's the talk of the town.
Yeah,
talk
of the absolutely.
Town.
Talk of the town. We thought, well, why not? And so I forked out and bought a subscription to HBO Plus.
Oh, we've been eating peanut butter on toast. We can't afford anything else.
Been watching, Sex and the City, Girls, Game of Thrones.
No. Actually, I did watch the rest of that House of Dragons
thing. Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think
I actually did
really enjoy the Night of the Seven Kingdoms? Like, it was a lot simpler.
Oh, I haven't watched that one yet.
It was quite fun.
Like, okay.
It wasn't trying to do too much and it was quite good. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So out of how many dragons would you give it?
Oh, okay.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
So like the Red Wedding episode, I'd give that 5 dragons out of 5. Mm-hmm. And this Hedge Knight, you know, he's pretty good. I'd give him 4 stars out of 5.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. We should probably ask, what would you give the final season of Game of Thrones?
Oh, like 2?
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, like there were some good bits, make no mistake. But I do wish it had ended differently. And, yeah, I do wish that they'd made more of the Night King.
Yes. Yeah, they were like, and now he's gone.
They built him up and then he died. And it's like, oh, okay.
And we've still got 3 episodes left. What's and I thought on? That was the big threat for me. That was the exciting thing.
It was that was the climax.
That was the unknown. But now we'll never know. What was I going to say about that? I was going to say something. Oh, I was listening to a podcast called Morning Somewhere and they were talking about, I don't know, something that George R. R. Martin is involved in. And one of them said, I've officially cancelled the final Game of Thrones book. We're just not doing it anymore. He said, on behalf of George R. R. Martin, I'm cancelling it. He said, it's mainly so that we don't have to get our hopes up that it will happen. Or get our hopes up that it will be a different outcome to what was in the TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very funny. So I'm cancelling it as well.
I hope culture. That he writes. Yeah. I hope that he finishes it and I'm waiting.
Do you reckon that he'll...
He's a really good writer and I just wish he wouldn't be influenced by other people.
I think it's been so long since he released the last one. I reckon he's written them all and they're going to wait for him to die to release them. Like it's been...
When's that going to be, Gary? Can we arrange that to happen?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was going to say, I'm not psychic.
No.
Or psycho, anyway, as Kaz and Kim would say.
One hopes that he has written it and I hope that he publishes it before he does.
Yeah, I reckon there's
see what books Google books says. Has George... I just want to see if other people, Martin... The online Oracle.
Already finished. What's the series called?
Game of Ice and Thrones. Game of Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
No.
We can edit this bit out.
No, this is good listening.
A Dream of Spring, and then The Winds of Winter. Okay.
Mm.
So no.
2 more books.
Yeah. I still reckon they're out there. I reckon he hasn't released them.
Yeah, okay. So you're just saying that Google AI doesn't know about it yet.
Oh, I know everything.
But also I think there should be enough space between the TV shows and what is written.
It has to, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because the TV shows became their own thing. And like what I like about this latest one is that it's not trying too hard, whereas the, you know, the TV series – they started off being really true to the books. It was all about the dialogue and the intrigue and like, oh, my God, what did Cersei say and all of that. And towards the end it became about spectacle. And I don't think that's what his, you know, the author's about. He's about the intrigue and all of that and the surprises and the shocks, you know. And so, yeah, I hope he sticks true to himself there. Yeah.
Where did this series sit within the Game of Thrones timeline?
So this is about Duncan the Hedge Knight, and he picks up a squire who turns out to be a prince. He just knows him as Egg, but he's actually Aegon, Aegon the Third.
So he becomes a Targaryen. Aegon
the Third. He's a Targaryen.
Ah.
But he's escaped because he hates his brother. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones.
And wants to become a squire and, you know, is quite, you know, quite an intelligent young lad and all of that, very sharp. And he's helping this hedge knight along and it turns out he's very, like, he gets caught in shenanigans.
Is it just a one series, one and done, like limited series, or do you think
it's hard to tell. Okay. Like, it started off as a series of short stories that he wrote.
Yeah.
And so they've basically covered the first short story in one season.
Oh, okay.
So they've sort of stretched it out a bit, which is good. But there's talk that they're going to stretch it out to many, many seasons. And in the end, this hedge knight is going to kill Aegon because he's going to go mad, just like all of the Targaryens.
Targaryens are doomed.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So there's a lot of speculation.
Mm, but they've got blonde hair.
He's shaved his off because he doesn't want to be like his brother.
He's in disguise. Yeah. Oh,
they won't recognize him.
I
wouldn't know.
It's like wearing sunglasses.
Just or drawing a moustache on.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's like 100 years before, before Game of Thrones.
The main series.
The dragons are no longer around. It's after the House of Dragons.
Yeah.
But it's about 100 years before, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I had a feeling it was prequel but not as prequel as the
– Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You went and saw stuff?
I did see some things. I've been seeing things left, right and centre. Before Christmas, I went and saw Book of Mormon a number of times because it's awesome.
How many times have you seen it now? Because I've only seen it the once. And it was great.
Yeah, you and I saw it the last time it was here, which I'm going to say was about 8 years ago.
It was a while ago.
9 years ago.
Yeah.
And then this time it came around, I've got two brothers and I took both sets of nephews. So I went twice.
What sort of ages are we?
They're teens and they're 20s.
Okay.
And one thing that's difficult to take kids to, if I call kids in their low 20s kids, is that, especially teens, is that it's awkward. I mean, you can take them to see kids stuff, so Wizard of Oz, Sound of Music, and then there are adult things, so you can go and see Hamilton and you can go and see adult things.
Yeah.
But for kids that are in that mid-range, it's awkward to find something.
Yeah.
Book of Mormon is excellent.
Because
it really is.
It's still got a little bit of that South Park.
It's a South Park.
It's written by the people who wrote South Park, and it's got childish humour. It's a bit dirty, but it's very funny. They're paying people out. It's everything that teenagers and young 20s like.
Yeah.
You know, when you're around kids that are in their 20s, you know, because I'm in that age group too, obviously, you know, they're paying each other out. They're, you know, insulting each other and laughing. That's what there's a lot of that in Book of Mormon. And there's people, you know, sort of lying their way through stories that are just funny. So it's really entertaining for that. So that's the age group that I was taking kids to. But, I mean, you can go with your own friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Adults.
We had a good time.
Yeah, we had a great time. Like, it really is one of the funniest ones I've seen.
Weirdly enough, I didn't know anything about the story until we went.
No, same. When we saw it originally.
Hilarious.
No idea.
Now that I think about it, I've got a vague recollection of it, but I just have, like, really vivid moments.
Yes, there's a couple of songs that stand out and things. And when I saw it again, you know, 8 years later, there were scenes that I remembered and then there were bits I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. Just the linking of the various scenes. Yeah. Similarly, I just went and saw Pretty Woman the other night and only just last week, and I haven't seen it since it was a movie, and that was over 30 years ago. It was early 90s.
It was excellent.
It was really good.
Do they sing the songs from the
movie? No.
Well, there's not a lot of songs in Pretty Woman other than the Royals.
Yeah, like the soundtrack.
There's the soundtrack. Women. That's right. Wild Women Do from Natalie Cole and Go West with something else.
There's another one.
There's a heap. So it was a huge soundtrack. Huge soundtrack.
Yeah.
And none of those songs are in it, but the Roy Orbison song Pretty Woman.
Okay. Well, you would have to
do
that. Right?
They do that for the curtain call and, it's good.
So, that's cool. But other than that, it's like, I think I told you that we saw, I may have told you all, last time I was here, that we saw Sister Act.
That's right.
And what I said then was, Sister, you go to the movies and you watch Sister Act and you enjoy the movie because they're singing these old songs.
Yeah, they're the songs,
and
they're fun. From the 60s.
And they're great. Yeah. And then you see the new show, those songs are not in it. They've written all new tunes. Mm. So you're not going to see it to hear those songs you enjoy. You're going to see a musical that has new songs. It's a different concept. So seeing this, I would almost put it in the same category.
Okay.
You're not going for that music that you enjoyed in the movie. You're going for a story which has songs written for it.
But the stories are so, you know, the story's so familiar. And so you don't have to think very hard when you're in there. And
Oh, it's an easy story. Most musicals are easy stories. I couldn't remember the story because, as I said, I hadn't seen it in 30 years. So I remembered some thoughts of it. I had recollections of the red dress and the snapping of the box when she goes to take the necklace.
The classic bit.
And when she wears the whoop whoop at the polo club or whatever it is. And I remember that she wore that short skirt and the blonde wig. So I remembered things.
It's basically My Fair Lady, isn't it?
Yes.
Very similar.
Yes. Yeah. So, but having said that, it's great. They're both amazing singers.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It was
a very, very easy night out. It's been going since Christmas last year, so it's had a really good run.
Took the one nephew that I didn't take to the other lot, I took to this time. His birthday falls at a different time of year. So.
Oh, okay.
I know.
It's a special different occasion.
Mm. And other than that, I went and saw Dale and I went and saw a number of cabaret shows over Christmas, New Year. We saw about three of them. We saw a show called La Ronde, which was a theatre on
saw a show, Gary. We were in that show.
Oh, someone was – there was a bit of audience participation and someone
– I hate audience participation, and so I selected seats that were upstairs thinking that that would be far enough away from the stage, would be well protected. But no.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either, because if you're not in the mood.
I was just going to say, we saw three shows. So we saw La Ronde. Yes, Dale was pulled out of the audience. It was quite funny. I did take some photos of him. We saw Gatsby at the Opera House, which was not the one that's at the State Theatre, which was very ballet-ish, but it was one that was more young and funky and you know, dancing and
was
sexy.
Basically cabaret but with a 1920s theme and really sexy, really good.
And then we saw a show called Wake, which was at Carriage Works, and it was part of the Festival of Sydney, and that was an Irish group. And they came out and, again, so the three of them were and it was sort of a bit sharp, a bit more cutting edge. There was a bit of slam poetry. There was a bit of break dancing in it, or breaking, as we call it. We're young people.
What, you and what's-her-face from the Olympics?
Yeah. Me and Yasser
Grimes. What's her name? Raygun.
Raygun, yeah. We're wiggity-whack. We're two and a peas in a pot. Between the three shows, they were all different, but they were all cabaret. And when I say cabaret, it's short little events. Each of them is a different song, different performers. Some will be fast, some will be slow, some will be loud and active, and some will be solemn and slow. And they're just all presented so that in the entirety you're getting a whole story that's threaded through, but they're a different concept with each. So between three of them, like I enjoyed them all. I think Dale enjoyed them all as well. But it was just really interesting to get through them.
Yeah, apart from getting lured up onto the stage with this fishing line.
What did you have to do?
That had a biscuit on the end of it, and I had to jump up and catch the biscuit with my mouth on the stage.
Was it a ginger? Arnott's ginger nut?
It was very disappointing. It was just a narrow route.
There were a number of previous people called up on stage, and some of them were more engaged than others, and the ones that aren't engaged really are let down for everyone. So I think Dale seeing that was quite.
It was a pretty good spot.
Yeah, he was a good spot. It was good,
but he was so close. Like, he was one of those comedians that doesn't speak, but just sort of makes noises and intimates stuff.
Yeah, right.
And so he handed me this fishing line, and you know, signaled for me to lure him, but then he just got out of reach, and so I had to get up out of my seat, and then he sort of lured me down the stairs, and then all of a sudden I was at the stage, and he made me walk up on the stage and then he made me put this hat on, like a Where's Wally sort of style beanie, and you know, made me draw a moustache onto my face.
On you?
And stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
funny. So we were little peas in a pod and stuff. And then by the end, he had me jumping up and down trying to catch this bloody thing, and you know, with my mouth. It was entertaining for everyone.
And you?
Except for me.
He was the light entertainment, not Dale, this performer, because between him were the big ballsy singers, the girls that could sing their heart out, the acrobats that were up and down flexing themselves, both boys and girls. There were some dancers. There was someone, fella that came out in these high heels and did split. Like, there were all these big aerobic-y activity dancer, sexy singer-y things, and this gent was he was the light entertainment between that was engaging and funny and really work with the audience. So altogether, they were great. All three shows were different, I'm always happy to go and see a cabaret whenever they're
there. So much fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
When it gets to winter time, which it isn't quite yet, do you feel less like you can be bothered to go out and do this
100%.
Stuff?
100%. Yeah. I'm going to go in the summer so you and see do as summer, much as
yeah.
I can.
That's what I thought.
And then
yeah.
winter's like, oh, it needs to be good to
just
get me out.
Just do jigsaw puzzles and have big casseroles for the whole time.
If there's anything that's going to be on for a while, I'm like, I'm going to see it at the summer end.
Yeah.
I saw that Lion King's coming, opens in June. I went, it'll still be there in November.
Oh, that will.
100%.
I've never seen it.
Haven't you?
Oh, it's quite good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen the movie, but not, I mean, the musical's different, though.
Oh, it's a different story altogether.
Yeah, what happens?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, that's good. I have to go and see it now.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very clever. Yeah.
It's really well done. Like, it's really well done.
I will probably have to go and see that one. Dale, what else have you been watching on your stolen streaming services or the one you pay for?
Well, I'm just waiting for Owen to cut us off.
It will happen.
Yeah, eventually. But maybe not for a while. Yeah, we'll see.
He must be like, I don't remember seeing that.
His algorithm's going all over the place.
I say that I'm going to like watching a Kevin Costner movie because I've been watching Yellowstone, that amazing show about cattle ranches and stuff in Montana. And it's this Wild West but modern day, you know, show, and I'm really enjoying it.
People love it. Yeah. I don't know why I haven't started watching it. I just haven't. You know when there are shows that are really big and you can't say why you haven't started it, but you just haven't. And then people are like, you haven't watched Schitt's Creek, and then you get into trouble. But I haven't yet, but
and
I will.
You get to a point.
Yeah.
Like, with this one, you can't watch too many episodes in one go. Like we also watched Chernobyl over the over the Christmas break, you know, because, you know.
That's HBO, yeah.
Yeah. It's an amazing miniseries, like really, really good. Important, like, you know, if anyone's debating about nuclear energy, you've got to watch that show. It's just incredible. But it's the sort of show that you can only watch one at a time.
Yeah, right. You can't, they're a bit full on.
You can't repeat watch because it's really
similar
really
to what I think, is it the showrunner or the director? I can't remember, but they went on to make The Last of Us TV adaptation.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's kind of like, watch that once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good, but can't watch that again.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. Can you imagine what kind of an intense person that would be that would want to make those kind of shows?
Oh, and just
because you live those, right? You live those while you're making
them. You
would
have to be.
Oh, I'd prefer they're just intense. To make like some Kath and Kim or something like that.
I did watch, speaking of light entertainment, Australian comedy, I've seen the first episode of the new series of Deadlock.
Okay, I've only seen the first as well.
Oh, my God, I love that show.
I feel
like I love the first series was awesome, amazing, fantastic.
There's a difference. I can feel a difference.
Oh, Gary, you're in big trouble when we get home. I can't believe you've started watching that without me.
I can't really talk too much about it because I've only seen one episode.
Well, I assume someone's died.
I don't
set in Darwin.
Yeah, I was because they moved up to Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they did. And so far, what's her name? Dulcie?
Dulcie.
She's always just got like her hair's almost always tied back and she's always got like a couple of strands that are just glued.
Just sweat
to her neck. It's very funny. She just looks uncomfortable the whole time.
Yes. We can't talk about it because we haven't seen it all yet, but it's just after the first series being so magnificent and such a stellar performance, I'm just looking forward to seeing where this goes.
I love the comedy in the first series. It was so good.
But it was a nice mixture as well. Like it was hilarious, but also it was a good mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when I watch a mystery, like, 2 years later, I'm like, I can't remember who the murderer is. I remember
who it was.
Yeah.
And the way that they veered who the prime suspect was every episode, it was someone new.
Yeah.
And the murders kept coming. It was really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this progresses.
Yeah. I hope they do another one. I don't know if they will. I haven't seen the end.
I have no idea.
But that's a Prime.
Oh, it's Prime.
Yeah,
oh,
wow, that's Amazon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would think it might feel like an ABC thing or something.
I've got a Prime account. That's how I got my HBO Plus, actually.
Oh, of course.
Because we got that to watch Heated Rivalry, that amazing Canadian,
you
got to
watch all the
thing.
Other stuff as well.
It's so tender too, you know, really
are
nice.
Are they making another season?
They are. It'll come out next year. But apparently the author has written like seven novels or something.
Oh, it's based incredible. Off a book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not just one. Like oh, the first those new romance is based off of three books or something. Like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it's romance novel, but very popular with the ladies.
Wow.
Yeah, and okay. even the men like it too because, you know, sports.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
Something for everybody in it. Yeah. Just want to go back to, I was trying to think of another song from the Pretty Woman movie soundtrack and I was trying to think of, where is it? King of Wishful Thinking.
King of Wishful Thinking, that was the go with
That's
song.
The one.
King of Wishful yeah. Thinking, yes.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that was it. Okay, anything else seen live?
That's all my list. I had to write them down because I forget. No, that's my list.
Okay. And when you were watching Disney, did you crack into any of the Marvel stuff? Are you over that now? Because I remember you didn't mind going to see the
I don't mind a Marvel movie or two.
It's a bit saturated now.
I watched some Star Wars stuff that I hadn't seen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we watched Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that
I was.
Good. That was quite good.
Yeah.
I was quite impressed. I mean, the shock, I think, to everyone who saw it was. It wasn't about Obi-Wan supporting Luke. It was about Obi-Wan supporting Leia, which no one was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting, that turn.
Nice battle scene at the end, like a fighting scene at the end. I liked that.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Good characters. You know, it's very Star Wars storyline. So that was entertaining. We watched something else. I need to think for a moment. Sorry, I haven't written these down.
Did you get into Andor?
No, we didn't watch Andor.
Okay. Oh, I saw one episode.
Yeah, right.
But I haven't gotten into it yet. Apparently it's quite good, so I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
We watched some Doctor Who because Doctor Who stopped being on ABC and went to
Disney for a bit. I think it's going back to the BBC, isn't it now?
Yes, so we watched the three episodes where David Tennant comes back.
Okay.
And Catherine Tate comes back. So we watched those because we'd watched that on television. We hadn't seen where that continued on to.
Were they in Doctor Who together? Were they?
Yes.
Okay, they were.
So David Tennant was there with Billy Piper and then.
It was a whole series.
There was the Billy Piper, there was the next one, and then there was Donna Noble, which was Catherine Tate. So they were the three companions.
Yep.
And then when he comes back, because Catherine Tate ended up in a weird storyline, she was sort of in limbo.
Yeah.
He came back and more or less released her from that limbo.
Okay.
Yeah, it was interesting.
We also saw the last season of Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that was the first thing we watched.
Watched a whole heap of movie length episodes.
We just happened to be there as they were landing over December, January.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, they were coming out on like the public holidays or something, weren't they? That's right.
And I know people poo-pooed it and stuff, episodes. But it's got to come to an end, and it was a nice way to finish, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it would have mattered what the ending was. People would have been like,
just
want it to end. But
Game of Thrones is a prime example.
Exactly. No one will ever be happy.
No one
I wasn't that upset with the end of Game of Thrones and I wasn't upset with Stranger Things either.
I could see that coming, the ending that they had. It was interesting they brought back a couple of characters came back. The school teacher, I remember from earlier scenes, he was magnificent. Didn't have as much a bigger part here.
No.
And then the other girl from the place came back as well.
Right.
We'd all forgotten about. Yeah. So there were a couple of people that came back. I thought Linda Hamilton was a bit underutilized, but she was still good.
She had good hair.
She had great hair, didn't she? Really good.
Yeah.
I liked her attitude. Yeah.
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 Wandering around. Bossing people.
Yeah, just get out of my way. Yeah, I like someone.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, look, it was good. It was really good.
It's always fun watching a heap of stuff, you know?
I thought the whole part of the second half of that last episode didn't.
It went for a bit long. It was a bit long. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't angry with it, but yeah, you're right. It was just a bit long.
Mm. But no, good. We really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now I'm wondering if you're going to enjoy this quiz that I've got ready. It's very stressful and I hope that you can.
Fingers on buzzers.
I'm going to put my glasses on.
Okay.
So that I can think better, even though I'm not actually going to be reading anything.
Well, I'm not going to be out-competed on this front.
Oh, we're all glassing up.
Oh, far out.
Oh, look, we're clear again. My gosh. Oh, there you are. Yeah. See, wait over there. I thought I was talking to the wrong person.
Quiz time.
Mm.
Pretend it's fan tales.
Oh.
And it's who am I? Are you ready?
Reddy Red
this,
Rooster.
This is just from Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
I'm clicking on early life. This actor was born on the 20th of June, 1967 in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, it's...
Is it Mel Gibson?
No.
No.
Is it Nicole Kidman?
It's Nicole Kidman. Yes. Very good. I do like, you know, trying to get like one, get it straight away.
This is like Sale of the Century when they would say, oh, it was...
Oh, you're dating yourself.
Okay. Early life. This actor was born on the 11th of August, 1983 in Melbourne to
Eric Banner.
Leonie, who was an English teacher, and Craig, who was a social services counsellor.
Great names.
This actor has an older brother called Luke and a younger brother called Liam. They're both actors.
Is it Chris Hemsworth?
It's Chris Hemsworth.
Was he born in Melbourne? There you go.
I don't know why. I thought he was from
83.
Brisbane. You know, he's blonde, so he's got to be from Brisbane.
Yeah, can't be from. Okay. Scroll down to early life. Okay. This actor was born on the 3rd of January, 1956, in Peekskill, New York, which is a suburb of New York City. This actor's family is of Irish-American descent and has, and as the sixth of 11 children, the second son to a writer, an Irish-born lady called Anne. This is getting a bit convoluted. But anyway, this actor's paternal grandmother was an opera singer who was born in Australia to Irish parents.
An Aussie actor
who was born in America.
Be in his 70s now.
This guy's father was awarded $145,000 in a work-related injury lawsuit against the New York Central Railroad on the 14th of February 1968, and soon afterwards they relocated to West Pimble in Sydney.
Give us a letter.
Mel Gibson.
Oh.
Well done. We've got...
I should get that.
Three more...
I said Mel Gibson.
Oh, did you? I didn't even hear. Sorry.
No. That was the first question.
Oh. It was still echoing around the room.
Gibson.
Hang on. So let's just check the scores. I think it's zero for Gary.
Oh, no.
No, I got Mel Gibson.
Okay. This actor was born in Dalby, Queensland on the 2nd of July, 1990.
I think it's pronounced Dalby.
Okay, Dalby.
Ryan Quanten?
No, but the... actor's father was a former farm owner and sugarcane tycoon, whilst the mother was a physiotherapist. Through their father, they are of Scottish descent. They are one of four children, and when they were 5 years old, their father separated from the family and then they moved, oh my gosh, and the actor moved with their mother to the Gold Coast.
Rose Byrne?
No. Apparently they spent most of their childhood at Currumbin Valley. That's
Currumbin.
Nice.
Did they go to the bird sanctuary?
Probably, right? Every second day.
Probably.
Around this time, the classmates began to nickname the Maggot, which originated from the teacher's mispronunciation during the roll call.
Margot Robbie.
Yes. Maggot Robbie.
Should have got it.
This actor, we've got two more by the way, was born on the 14th of May 1969 in Melbourne. Ivanhoe, actually.
Eric Banner.
No. No. June is the mother. She was a property developer and teacher. The American father, wow, was a United States Navy Chief Petty Officer, who then became an advertising executive. They met the parents met when the ship broke down in Melbourne. When this actor was 10, their father died of a heart attack. One of three kids. Ancestry includes English, some Scottish, and remote French roots. This actor,
Roxburgh?
No. went to Ivanhoe Girls Grammar School, Methodist Ladies College, and explored her passion for the performing arts.
Sigourney Weaver.
No.
No, we're Australian.
In her late teens and early 20s, no, she worked in a nursing home. Then she went to had a Bachelor of Business Administration. And then went to Egypt to become an extra in an American cheerleading movie called Caboria. Went on to go to NIDA, and I will start saying other things that she has been in. Massive fan of the Sydney Theatre Company.
Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
Next one was really Griffiths.
Okay, final one. Final one, early life. Born on the 20th of June, 1909, in Queen Alexandra Hospital at Battery Point, Tasmania.
Errol Flynn.
Yes. Well done. We can tell who had more fantails than others.
Well, I should have gotten that Margaret one. Yeah.
I felt like I was reading Margot for a while.
Famous, Mel. Who is famous who's about 35 years old?
Yeah.
I should know.
Yeah.
I missed where you said what year they were born, and I'm like,
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
You said 1990.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I missed it. It was only when you said
sounds like Margot. But then I have like to calculate because 1990 was only like, 15 years ago, wasn't it? Oh,
yeah. No, it's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I loved all of that, particularly the bit where I remembered by Googling it, King of Wishful Thinking.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'll get over you. I know I will. On that note, Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
On that note, Dale, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Dessert time.
Yes.